From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters. 2024 marks an historic election year. In November, voters will decide the future of our country for the next 4 years, as well as many key state and local races. Now, because it is a presidential election year, there has been a lot of focus on not just who gets elected, but also on how our election system works at both a national and local level. So to answer the questions that have come up this election season, we asked Idaho's Secretary of State, Phil McGrane, to join us every Tuesday leading up to the election to take a closer look at these issues. And he is joining us now to talk more. Good to have you back on the show.
Great to be with you again, Gemma.
Okay, can we start today, let's talk absentee voting. Because I think this can kind of get a little tricky to understand. So how does it work here in Idaho?
You know, great question. Election day, you know, the election is underway. People are already voting. We've had our first wave of absentee ballots go out, and now we're continuing to send out absentee ballots across the state when people request them. And I think that's where one of the things starts. In Idaho, you do have to actively request an absentee ballot. You're not going to be mailed one. No voter will automatically be mailed an absentee ballot. Instead, you have to request it either from your local elections office, or you can go to voteidaho.gov and you can put in your information and request a ballot be mailed to you. This is a great option for people who are going to be traveling, aren't able to make it to the polls on election day. Maybe they, you know, have a shift work job. It just makes it easier for people. And sometimes people's just abilities, right? If someone's disabled, sometimes it's easier to get the ballot mailed to you at home. That's where it all starts, is that request. And then a ballot will be mailed to the voter. The voter gets to fill out the ballot in the privacy of their own home and then return it. I think one thing I want to highlight is whenever voters get an absentee ballot is to make sure to sign the envelope on the back. There's an affidavit there. And one of the security measures we have in place in Idaho for absentee ballots is that we verify 100% of the signatures that come back for all the ballots. Often the biggest issue with absentee ballots is actually that voters forget to sign them. So that's why I really make an emphasis there. But it's part of our security to check against driver's license records and voter registration records to make sure a voter is who they say they are, and then we can count it. And, you know, one of the more common questions I've got lately is, how do I know for sure that my absentee ballot was returned? And it's really cool. Our new tools on voteidaho.gov, you can actually look up your voter registration information and see the status of your absentee ballot, if it was accepted and if it gets counted.
Okay, I want to go back to something you said about signing the back of that, because it's an affidavit, so signing the back of that envelope. If you do not sign it, does that mean that ballot is void?
Good question. If you do not sign it, your vote will not count. It is important. The county clerks will try to contact you. So if they have your phone number or an email address on your voter registration, they'll reach out to try and get you the opportunity to sign it. Or they'll send a letter. They'll try to make every effort so that you can have the chance to fix it. But if it's not signed by 8 p.m. on election day, or if your absentee ballot isn't returned by 8 p.m. on election day, your vote will not count. And so it is an important part of the process. And it's one of those things we like to emphasize because it's something voters can miss.
Do you have to have an actual reason to vote absentee?
No, any reason is acceptable. We see about 12 to 15% of Idahoans will choose to request an absentee ballot, and it's for a wide variety of reasons. Most common, especially right now, is travel. We have lots of snowbirds in the state who may not be here come November, but there's other reasons. You know, it's interesting, when I've met with firefighters, this is really important to them because they may intend to stop at their polling location on election day, but 911 calls can interrupt that plan. And so there's a lot of people in different positions in life, and absentees really are a great option.
So is absentee voting the same as mail-in voting? Because we hear mail-in voting a lot, like nationally. So is it the same thing?
It's very similar, but I will say it's different when you hear it nationally. So our neighbors to the west, Oregon and Washington, they vote by mail-in. So every voter is mailed a ballot in those states. There aren't actually polling places to go to and vote. Their primary method is to mail voters their ballot and have them mail back. And so without the voter requesting it, everyone is mailed one. They have similar security measures in place, but it's just a different process, where here it's really based on the request. We do have a few small instances where we have mail-in. So our very, very rural parts of the state, if a precinct has less than 140 voters, they can end up having their ballot mailed to them. And that's just those people who are really, really spread out in the state. But Idaho is a little different in just that you have to request it. And as you noted, you don't have to have a specific reason for requesting one.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you mentioned that your absentee ballot needs to be turned in, you said, by 8 p.m. on election day, or it will not be counted.
Yep, every form of voting stops when the polls close at 8 p.m. in Idaho. So in some other states, you may hear in national news about curing or postmark dates. That doesn't apply here. Here, the absentee ballot needs to get to the elections office by election day. And that's true, too, of the drop boxes. So in terms of returning it, the most common way is stick it back in the mail, put a first-class stamp on it. It does require a stamp. But if someone's worried just because of timing or they think it might take too long to go through the mail, they can go to their local elections office or county courthouse, drop off their absentee ballot. Or in many instances, counties may have a drop box available at a county location that's monitored, and they could drop it off there. But even with the drop boxes, 8 p.m. is the deadline. The drop boxes will be closed at that point, and that's when the last ballots get counted.
Okay, so when do you actually open the absentee ballot? Because I'm assuming that as they're coming in, you're checking those signatures on the outside of the envelope, because that would be really difficult to do on election day.
Yes, all the receiving prep work. And so like if you go to Vote Idaho and you look up your information, as the counties receive those absentees, they are verifying the signatures. They are checking it in. That logs it to make sure that if a voter for some reason turned in an absentee ballot but tried to vote in another way, we can cross-check and reference all that information. But the ballots themselves stay sealed in their envelope up until the day before the election day is when clerks start to open them, and no ballots are actually counted, no votes are counted until actually on election day.
Okay, so how do you make sure that somebody who has voted absentee, or maybe they just got their absentee ballot and didn't send it in, doesn't go to the polls and possibly vote twice? Because, I mean, do you ever have somebody who like gets an absentee ballot and doesn't turn it in and then shows up at the polls?
We have every situation you can name that comes up. Remember, we're working with a million Idahoans, so we get to see a little bit of everything. One of the things that our office and here in the Secretary of State's office actually manages is the state voter registration system. It's where our elections are run. So it doesn't matter whether it's Boundary County or Bear Lake County or somewhere else, we're all connected and sharing information. That keeps our voter rolls clean and up and maintained, but it also does the cross-reference. So it's not, you know, just a voter, say, potentially trying to vote in Ada County by absentee and then here locally. We are also cross-checking all across the entire state. And so if a voter shows up to the polling location, let's say more commonly they request an absentee ballot, they never got around to filling it out, and so that it was just easier to pop into, say, an early voting site or go to their polls, they can still do it. The voter record will show that they got that they had received one, but that they hadn't returned it. And no matter what, we have controls in place that only one ballot would ever be counted from somebody. And if necessary, we can look into it further if it's required because of some ill intent or something else. You know, it's not uncommon. Sometimes we'll see a senior who votes 45 days out, so they get one of the first absentee ballots, and then they don't realize come election day that it's the same election. Regardless, we're able to help manage and assist the voter through the process and make sure that everyone only votes once.
So, you know, you are very aware of the fact that over the last at least 4+ years, there has been a lot of talk about mail-in voting, absentee voting, not being safe, not being secure, this whole idea that our elections are not safe and secure. How safe is this process here in Idaho?
You know, we've got really important safeguards in place. And I think, and it doesn't matter what county, from the smallest counties to the largest counties, things like doing the signature verification are really important to the process. Absentee voting is a little bit different. I always like to describe it, you know, we're mailing ballots out into the wild, and sometimes they look like they came back from the wild. We see everything. So, you know, just fun for your listeners. Like, I've had voters a couple of times send me gummy bears with their absentee ballots. Every now and then we get cash in the absentee envelopes. My most frustrating one was a voter, instead of marking the boxes, used an X-Acto knife to cut out their votes.
Oh, geez.
We see a little bit of everything. Now, most voters just follow the process and the rules. But what's nice is it doesn't matter whether it's voting on election day at the polls, whether it's early voting or absentee voting, we have to put really common sense safeguards in place to give everybody confidence. And that's what we've done. So checking someone's request, verifying their registration when they request one, checking the signature when it's returned, and then even taking steps with absentees, we actually go through a two-step process. So if a voter's ever wondered, there's that secrecy sleeve in their absentee envelope, that's to help protect the anonymity of the vote of the voter. So we have a constitutional right to a secret ballot in Idaho, and we take extra steps to make sure we protect that right.
So I also wanted to talk today about campaign finance. So how does the reporting process for candidates work here in our state?
You know, we're at that time of year where everyone's starting to see yard signs pop up, starting to get mailers or see TV ads, for example. One of the things is all of this is regulated just to make sure to know who's funding our elections. So it could be who's supporting a candidate, or more often we see a lot of questions about those mailers that are from, you know, whatever group. They have these clever names. One of the things is you can go to voteidaho.gov, and on our Sunshine page, so under campaign finance, anytime you get one and you see that paid for by, that's one of the main things to look for. You can actually go on our page and search those organizations to see who are the backers. Like, where is this money coming from? What are they doing with it? I know the politicos really follow all this really closely, but it's important that we track and know here as Idahoans who's influencing our elections. And I'll say, you know, the most common complaint we get and the most common thing I advise candidates and campaigns is just putting that paid for by disclaimer. It really helps inform voters as to what's happening in terms of our overall campaign cycle. And it's worth noting this last primary election, we saw $3.6 million pour in just in independent expenditures. So those are that outside money coming in. Just related to our legislative races. And I expect we'll see a bunch of money come in for this election as well. So we're watching it closely, and anybody interested, it's public information. So we try to make it easily accessible.
So who has to report, and when do they have to report?
All of the candidates. So whether they're running for county commissioner, running for the legislature, running for a state office, they have to report with our office all the money they receive. So who they're donated to, who donates to them. There are limits as it relates to candidates. They also have to report their expenses. You know, are they using it for a mailer or a TV ad? And then probably what gets most attention these days, especially at the federal level, is all of these political committees. So we have these political action committees doing all sorts of work. That's where we've seen a real rise in funding here in our state, is money from PACs. And those organizations also have to report the donors who are giving money, as well as what's going out. And we do have instances where we have both really large donors supporting some causes. So you have, say, a wealthy individual or group. But we also see other instances where campaigns or PACs are supported because of a cause, and you see lots of small donations. I mean, everyone hears it, I think, on the presidential level, right? Where who's raising how much money. And it's, I will say, sitting in the center of it, it's wild to see how much money pours through politics these days.
So do PACs and other groups have to report in Idaho as well?
Yes, they do. So at the federal level, so for president and for our congressional members, they all report to the Federal Election Commission. Similarly, you can look up at the FEC where that money's going. That's a lot of what you'll hear in the news. The big news outlets are monitoring FEC. But for anything state level, whether it's a statewide office like this or the judiciary, as well as the legislature, county races, they also all have to register and report. So you will see it here locally, for example, in the ACHD commissioner's race. Those are always kind of big because it impacts development in the community. And so we'll see even money flow there. So it doesn't really matter what level or what they're doing. We want to make sure that the public has the opportunity to see who's influencing our politics.
So what happens if someone misses a reporting deadline? Is there a penalty?
Yes, there is. That's where I get to become the referee. Me and my team here monitor all of it. So if anyone sees somebody who's not, they don't think they're following the rules, right now we get reports on various issues, whether it's someone forgetting to put a disclaimer, or to your point, if someone's late, we do issue fines. There's a handful of regulations. We help navigate the PACs and the candidates through it, but our office does issue fines to make sure that people are in compliance and that we enforce the rules that we have so that everybody's playing on an even playing field.
You know, sometimes there seems to be those last minute mailers or even a robocall right before an election. And this happens to try to sway a race. And sometimes you have no idea like who it was until after, you know, when they file this report. So first off, is that legal? And can you track down those kinds of you know, the robocalls in particular?
We try to monitor everything. So as people report stuff to us, we're not actually keeping an eye on everything that's going on, but as things get reported, we do look into it. Well, we have a team of people, including working with part of the Attorney General's office, to make sure we're regulating this space. We have updated some of our laws to improve some of that transparency. That said, I anticipate this next legislative session that campaign finance will be one of the big topics. I know it's something I'm interested in engaging on, because after our primary, that $3.6 million I mentioned in independent expenditures was a huge uptick. And there was a lot of activity that, like, we got more complaints than we've seen in the past in terms of how people behave. And we saw, of that $3.6 million, about $1 million came from out of state. And so that really piqued everyone's interest, where all of a sudden we're seeing more activity from groups not in Idaho trying to push different policy issues among those who are running for office.
So one more thing before we let you go. We live in the age of social media. Where can a voter find trusted sources of information when they are trying to learn more?
You know, I think one of the great things of what we're doing right now, just checking in once a week, is to make sure we're going to the official sources and information. So whether it's the Secretary of State's office here, or I think most importantly, if people have questions about the election, how the process works, whether their ballot was counted or anything else, is to go to their county clerk. Go to voteidaho.gov. Anyone who visits the website, you'll see at the very top of the website, there's a dropdown to show that this is an official government webpage. Here's how you know it is. This is where you can rely on the information. And that's especially true as we get close to Election Day and we start producing results. We know in this environment, social media, things can run all over the place. If you ever see something and you're like, wait, that doesn't seem right, go check with the people who are actually overseeing the process. We know as this election gets closer, there's going to be a lot more questions, and we're ready to answer them.
Well, as always, we so appreciate you coming on and really giving us this really sound, factual information. So thanks for your time today.
Thank you, as always, Jim. I look forward to continuing the conversation as we go along.
We do too. We've been talking with Idaho Secretary of State Phil McGrane on how Idaho is getting ready for the November election. As I mentioned, he will be with us every Tuesday leading up to the election to answer questions about how the election process works. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
The candidates for November are set.
I know Donald Trump's type.
Between now and Election Day.
We are not going back.
A campaign season unfolding faster.
Kamala Harris is not getting a promotion.
Than any in recent history.
Make America great again.
Follow it all with new episodes every weekday on the NPR Politics Podcast.